Okay, so let's begin Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky's Torah on the Parsha, Parsha's Lech Lecha, on the Pasuk of Vayelech L'Masav, that Avraham Avinu went back on his journey. So let's see what he says. Niftach b'maisa avisim labanim. We know that these are the Parshas of the Avis, and the Ramban famously says that Maisa avisim labanim, whatever the Avis did, is a sign for us to follow. Avraham Avinu gila gala me'artzai u'me'amayladetai u'me'beis aviv. Avraham Avinu went into Golos from his land and from his birthplace and from his father's home. Higil Eretz Yisrael, arriving in Eretz Yisrael, v'nei ba'arav, and the famine hits. L'haisa breira. So what did he do? He couldn't stay in Eretz Yisrael. The famine was very severe. So Vayered Mitzrayim Lagersham. He went down to Mitzrayim to live there. Ki chaved harav baretz, because the rav was very intense. Now, Chazal tell us that Bedarkei leMitzrayim lan b'achsanyos. On the way down to Egypt from Eretz Canaan, he stayed in certain inns. V'hayolei kesev l'shalim. But he had no money with which to pay them. So hisareach behakafa, he basically stayed there on credit. He didn't have any money, so he had to borrow the money. He went to the innkeeper, and he said, listen, I have no money. Do you mind if I would be able to just stay, and I'll pay you back sometime later? Higil l'Mitzrayim, he got down to Mitzrayim, upari ashak esara nuga benegam gadel meshilcha b'livoid pizza nadiv kiyad ha-melech. And after that whole maisa that took place with Paro in Mitzrayim, he left a very wealthy man. He came back from Egypt to Mitzrayim, to Eretz Canaan, and he was laden with silver, with gold. And the pasuk says, "Vayelach l'masav." Pirush Rashi: Kishechazar mi Mitzrayim l'Eretz Canaan, hayahaylech v'lon. He went and he slept in the very same inns that he went, that he slept in on the way down. If he stayed in a certain inn on the way down and he borrowed money to stay there, he went back to those very places and he slept there. And Rashi says, Limedcha derech eretz. This is teaching us derech eretz, good behavior. Shel yishana oda me'achsanya shaloi, that a person should not switch from his achsanya, which means that if a person, let's say every time he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he stays at a certain place, you stay by an aunt's house, an uncle's house, or a cousin or something, and then you go back to Eretz Yisrael the next time and you don't stay there, that's very insulting. If they find out that you stayed elsewhere, they're going to say, oh, we weren't hospitable enough, wasn't comfortable enough, we weren't good hosts. So we learn from Avraham Avinu that you have to go back to wherever you were the last time, even if it wasn't perfect, but you go back. And that's exactly what Avraham Avinu did on the way back from Mitzrayim to Canaan. Okay, so with that as a background, the Yesh Li Shaila, so Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky asks a certain question on this premise. He says, Eini makir, I don't really know this for a fact. Aval shamati, but I did hear that hotels and inns and places to stay are rated based on stars. What does that mean? How many stars do you see? Right, that's how things work. If it's a 5-star hotel, it's Spitz Hotel, right? That's where you want to stay. If it's a 1-star hotel, 2-star hotels, you know that that's not a good place to be. I once had a friend who he just got married and he wanted to go to New York City with his wife for the evening. So he booked on Priceline. If you know what that is, it's a website that you sort of name your own price. And he booked on Priceline a room in the New York Hilton, in the New York, in the in the Plaza Hotel. Plaza Hotel is like the Spitz Hotel in Manhattan. So it's right by Central Park, and it's like 5-star, it's probably 10-star hotel. It's like, it's not Shaya. So he put in there $100, you know, you name your own price, and they took it for some reason. It's normally like $3,000 a night. For some reason, maybe it was a computer glitch, they took it for $100. So he was all excited. He went, you know, he went to, with his wife to the city, went out to eat, they were going to this hotel, comes to the hotel with his, you know, Priceline printout. And he says, you know, we're here to spend the night. So they say to him, I'm sorry, we don't know why, but we see that you made a reservation. We have no rooms tonight available. He says, what do you mean, I have no rooms? I have a receipt. I'm entitled to a room here. So what are we going to do? We have no rooms available. So they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call the other hotel, like our competition, the New York Hilton, and we're going to see if they have a room. Maybe we could put you up there. And sure enough, they had a room. So they put them up in the New York Hilton. He says, okay, but I'll take that for the night, but, you know, we really want to stay in the Plaza. So they said, fine, we'll give you a voucher. You could stay in the Plaza another night. But that's not enough. That wouldn't make anyone happy. To really be a good Jewish story, so he contacts Priceline, and he says, a chutzpah, he says, I came with your receipt to the Plaza Hotel, and they said, we don't have any room, and, you know, it was very embarrassing for me. So they gave him back his $100. So he got his $100 back, he got his room in the Plaza, he got his room in the Hilton, and it was a very happy ending for him.
Shalom Bayis.
Good for Shalom Bayis.
I think his wife sees that Keying.
That he what?
It's keying.
Cheating? It's
yeah.
Not cheating. Why is it cheating?
I'm saying trying to...
She was impressed, I think. Anyway, so that's the way it is. There's good hotels and there's bad hotels. 5-star hotel, good hotel. 2-star hotel, bad hotel. This is Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky talking. He says, Taiv. You come to a fancy hotel, v'yaymar. Atem yaydim sheish rabarz. You know, you go into the Plaza Hotel, you say, you know that there is a famine in the land. La noshem ein lechem lechel. There is no bread to be eaten. Upay, baruch Hashem, gam tem gam mispres, a very schmitz hotel over here. You have all the food in the world, babur, maslava, dog, you have steaks, and you have chicken, and you have duck, aval ma. And I got to tell you something, guys. You tell to the manager at the, you know, at the Waldorf Astoria. I got to tell you, I have no money. Okay, I can't afford this. Ein li kesel l'shalem im yirtza Hashem l'chishe yarchiv ein yadehem u'masay Hashem. I promise you that yirtza Hashem bli neder. If I get around to getting some money together, they're not going to really let you into any of their rooms. They're probably not going to let you stay in their lobby that much longer either. They're going to kick them out. Okay, you know, you want to go down to a Motel 6 or something, maybe they'll have some rachmah. What are you coming to the Spitz Hotel and expecting here to get a freebie? This is like a $2,000 a night, this hotel. So we're not giving any freebies. Maybe in a, you know, in a youth hostel, maybe you can finagle something with them, but they're not going to let you do this in a fancy hotel. Shamati Sha'adam Bala professor. In Eretz Yisrael, a professor is like, it's not like a professor in college. Professor is like a very like a elite type of doctor. It's like a specialist, like a very chash of a doctor that knows a lot more than everybody else. So he says, I heard a story that a guy came to a professor, kayev lay pai upai upai, and he points to different parts in his body that are hurting him. Ha professor baidik baichin ma'avchin meishres amir shomu maftir, shmein ameyasal, he pokes around in all the places, all his ramachivarim, and then he says, okay, you know, I've assessed what you have, and it's this and that. Here's the bill, $800. He says, okay, Ainley, I don't have $800. So, Ain Poshut Mizah, he says, hold on, my parish, what do you mean you don't have $800? Ainley, Ain Poshut Mizah, there's nothing, can't say it any clearer, I don't have the money. Taiv. Vaynasim says, I'm not going to make a big deal about this. Tein chamesh meis. Give me $500. We'll call it a day. Anoshim amtinim batar chaval azman. There's people waiting. I'm not going to make a big deal. Give me $500. Fine. Ainli pizman chayzer. Tishma arba meis achatzi mechir tainli v'dai $400 half. We'll do a 50% off sale. I'm a professor chachamim. Ivris besiz emes. I don't think I thought professors were smart. I'm telling you something very clearly. Ainly, I don't have the money. I don't have it. Ha professor hichlet litel es hayazma hava nishma kamesh. So he says, okay, listen. How much do you have? What do you? I know what you don't have. Now tell me what you do have. Ainly klum, I don't have anything. Beza kupat cholimata. Which kupat cholim are you in? Misainin. Ha professor histadrut elama anila mevin mishtamim a professor kishen kasef lahachlam professor. When there's no money, if you have no money, you don't go to a chashav a professor. Kishen kasef lahachlam professor. You have kupat cholim. You have the regular socialized medicine. Go there. What are you coming to me for? If you have no money, what are you wasting my time for? You have a doctor. Go to your regular doctor. Patient, his spear, this guy explains, Abba Shli Amar Tom, my father always used to tell me, Shekasher Zemagil Abrios, when it comes to health, Loy Mistaklim Ala Kesef. You don't pay attention to, it's like one of those bazooka jokes, right? You have to like, nobody really understands it, but. What? Nothing is too expensive. Okay, but you can make that cheshbon on your cheshbon, but you don't do it on the professor's cheshbon. So. But if you would say it from the beginning, had he told the professor this right away, that I got no money, he would have kicked him out. He wouldn't see him. Avraham Avinu, for sure, he wasn't this type of person, Avraham Avinu. He wasn't, you know, doing shtick. He wasn't like going and, you know, at the end of the stay, telling him that he had no money. He for sure said from the beginning that I am penniless. I don't have money. I can't pay this. So how was he maskim to be put up? Who would agree to put him up? He's a guy, he just came up from Charon, but Dr. Mitzrayim is heading down to Mitzrayim. Ulai ba'achsani shal koichav echad. Maybe a one-star hotel, and this is like a star that's going down. But he's not staying in a fancy hotel. He's staying in a very, very, very low-level place. That's the only place that would take you free of charge, maybe. But it's not going to be a very chashuv hotel. And on the way back, so now Avraham Avinu is already chashev. Avraham Avinu wasn't penniless at this point. Avraham Avinu was already kaved hayemayid. He was very laden, but mikna because of azav. He had silver, he had gold, he was a billionaire. Ka'es, yachal yilivchar samuvchar shabachsanyas. Now already he was able to choose any hotel that he wanted. He doesn't have to go down and look for a Motel 6. He could go and he could stay in the Plaza and the Hilton and the Sheraton and the Waldorf. He could stay wherever he wants. He's a billionaire now. Hamuchtaris b'koich v'ashmal rov. He could have had a zillion stars. Nevertheless, Chazal are telling us v'leshina me'achsanya shala. He didn't change from that achsanya. Whatever that hostel was that let him in on the way down, he stayed in that same place on the way back up. Lon ba'isam kuchem mifukafim, mifukafim. He stayed in the same place in that same bad lodging. Umadua kila rotsa lahargelas atma l'raf gavaya yaser l'madana misafnukim. Why? Why did he stay in the same place? He stayed in the same place because even though he was very, very wealthy, he still wanted to be and to maintain himself with low maintenance. He didn't want to start getting carried away with the money, even though he had the money. So normally, the way we think of money, in America at least, is that if you have it, flaunt it. You have the money, well, why not spend it? There's no reason not to spend the money. If I have the money, if I can afford it, so I can get a Lexus, I can get a big house, I can get fancy vacations, I could get nice clothing, I could, you know, I could live it up. Avraham Avinu didn't do that. Avraham Avinu had his money, but he stayed in the very same places that he stayed when he was poor. He wasn't looking to upgrade his lifestyle. He wasn't looking suddenly to go business class and first class just because he could afford it. He wanted to just keep it very low-key. V'Avraham kaved ma'od b'mikneh b'kesev v'azav. Yiduim divrei ha'alshech ha'kadosh. The Alshech ha'kadosh says in his Pirush to Mishle, she'azikim kevedim. Tachshitim einim kevedim. Tachshitim are like jewelry. Jewelry is never heavy. You ever see like women wearing like this like really heavy gold necklaces and like earrings that are weighing their ears down? How do they do that? Isn't that too heavy for them? The answer is it's not heavy. Jewelry is never heavy. Jewelry, because it's light. It's very light. If because it's chashuv. Chashuv, things that are not chashuv, that, you know, that you're complaining about, that you're schlepping. No one's ever, never saw anybody like with like stacks of money saying, boy, this is really, it's too heavy. No, it's not. It's very light. You know, things that you don't want to schlep, very heavy. But things that you love, things that you do want to schlep, that's very light for you. Hasimcha bahem, haisparas bahem, you're so happy with them and you're so, you take such pride in them. Garmim she'ein chashim b'chavdam. You don't care about the fact that they're heavy. The Avraham Avinu haya kaved, the kaved ma'od. He was very weighed down by mikneh, by kesev, by zav, haya ol l'masa. Chayev haya l'seisim avur kalkolas talmid v'arabim, v'achnasis ha'archem, she'olsa ha'ayin tayafais, v'achol kal arvi b'loshin chardol, avu keshul ha'atzmai, haya mimar atzim m'sag v'atzim yisur, meaning, what the Alshech is saying is a gorgeous vart. He said, what does it mean by Avraham kaved ma'ayd b'kesev azav? When do you find that expression that a person is weighed down b'kesev azav? If I care, no one's weighed down b'kesev azav. If I'm schlepping boxes of pots and pans, that's heavy. If I'm schlepping a sofa, that's heavy. But if I'm carrying like money, it's not heavy, it's light. I'm silver, gold. Schmack to carry that. No one's complaining about carrying silver and gold. If I have bars of gold, I'll proudly carry them as far as I want. That it's Avraham Avinu felt it was heavy. Avraham Avinu didn't see like the lightness in money. He saw them as being heavy. Now, it was a load for him. It was kvedim. It was kaved ma'od. It was very heavy. Now he had to take it. You see, he's saying, well, if it's such a burden on him, I'll take him from what? Like who? The answer is he needed it. What did he need it for? What did he need all this money for? He needed it because he was running a very big kirev organization. He had to make big Shabbatons in hotels. He has to, feed people tongue with mustard. He had to have achnasas archem. He had a big eshel avram. Cost a lot of money to do that. So he recognized that I need the money, but for himself, he was it was painful for him to carry it. He didn't see that sparkle, that glitter in the gold like everybody else in the world did. Avraham Avinu was very he knew that it was weighing him down. It wasn't what he wanted. It wasn't what he needed. He didn't say, "Wow, now I'm rich. Now I could really, really, fulfill all the dreams and live that lifestyle that I really always dreamt about." That was never his lifestyle. He didn't want, he wanted to live very simply. He was very comfortable living very simply. He didn't want the money for himself. He used it for Hektish. He used it for the Rebbeinu Shalom, for Kirev Rechaikim, for his yeshiva, for his family, for his Hachnas Zarchim enterprise. But personally, it was painful for him to schlep this. He says, "Ani nizkar, Rashi Yeshiva Agayin v'Avram Yafin Zatzal, Chasane shel Asav min Avardik Zatzal." Avram Yafin was a son-in-law of the altar of Navardik. Biker Baritz, once he came to Eretz Yisrael. Now, by the way, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky was a big Talmud of Navardik. So he was a Talmud of Rav Avraham Yaffin, and Rav Avraham Yaffin was the son-in-law of the Alter of Navardik. So when he came to Hetzel Panisa Avuras Dirasi, he stayed in my apartment. I thought it was a tremendous chus for myself that I chapped Rav Avraham Yaffin to stay by me. And Matzai Shabbos Amrli, on Matzai Shabbos, he said to me, "Boy, now a stipler. Let's go visit the stipler." Now, what was a stipler to Navardik? The stipler was also one of the big Talmidim of Navardik, right? He was a Talmud of the Alter of Navardik. He learned in Navardik, and he became a Rebbe in one of the branches of Navardik eventually. Shaya Talmud of Bialystok. So he was his Talmud in Bialystok. Alino, umetzanuhu beitzuma shalsudas malamalka. The stipend of Matzai Shabbos is eating malava malka. Malava malka is something that's very important to eat. Just as an aside, the Chazon Ish used to say, the Chazon Ish was the stipler's brother-in-law. The Chazon Ish used to say that whoever doesn't eat malava malka will someday very much regret it.
Crackles the bikes.
It's a very hard, for me, it's very hard to eat Malava Malka because it's a very hard thing to do because, you know, you're so full from Shabbos, maybe not in these early Shabbosim, so then you wait a little bit, then you get some appetite, but like on the late Shabbosim in the summer, like I'm so full already from Shabbos day, Shalosh Shudas, and then you make Havdalah and like, it's really hard to, but you try to eat Malava Malka. It's very important to do that. So the stipler was sitting there eating Malava Malka. What was he eating from Malava Malka? He didn't get pizza and falafel and Coke. Shiarei Challah, he had the shirayim of his challah from Shabbos, whatever was left over from the challah. Zonav Dog Maluach, he had the tail of like a herring, like a salted fish, the tail of that. V'kais Mayim and a cup of water, that was his Malava Malka. He lived mamish bedachkos, banios bedachkos. He lived in abject poverty. Now, he probably had more money than that. I'm not saying he had no, but he sold his svarim, and he had probably the ability, if he would have wanted to step it up.
Been in the apartment many times. But he said, anyone who lives in Baybach, I'll pay for it. I'll buy them the apartment.
Yeah, so there's money, but he lived. This was his Malava Malka. Rav Rashi Yeshiva Hiftis. The Rashiva saw this scene of how the stipler was living so low level, and he says, "Eisai ha stipler kamelof neishleishim tron." This is the same stipler that I'm seeing now that I saw 30 years ago when he was younger, when he was in Navardik, when he was in Yeshiva, when he was there. He mamish had no money. He didn't change. Now he's a stipler, world famous, and he has svarim published, and he has, the whole world is running after him and giving him whatever he could possibly. Same stipler. Shirayim of challah, little herring, water. That was the whole Malava Malka. Nothing fancy, he didn't step it up, he didn't try to, upgrade, no upgrades. Whatever was good for me when I was a bachur is good for me today. Leshina me achsanya shalah. He didn't change from his achsanya, quote unquote, his host, his lodgings, his inn, the lodging that he had when he was younger. It worked. It was good. I don't need more than that. The amarti, and I said, shalachain tiknu lanu levakish brichas amazin. That's why, says Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, that's why the takana of the harachamans at the end of benching. Harachaman hu yishlach lanu bracha meruba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should send us tremendous bracha. Make us wealthy. Give us bracha. Give us blessing. Aval, how does the ending go? Bracha meruba bayis azos. We just rattle up in this house. But if you're a thoughtful individual, you start like thinking, what does this mean? What does this mean that we're saying in the Harachamans? So he says, "Harachem yishlach lana barachem ruba. Give me a barachem ruba, but b'bayis hazeh. Whatever you give me, you could make me a millionaire. I win the lottery, $100 million in my pocket, Powerball. I'm staying in this house. B'bayis hazeh. But this is a starter house. This is you shouldn't stay in this house. But upgrade. Get a big mansion now. You can afford it. No, Abaye says that. Not only that, Shabracha Marubalay Tischara Daitenalay Tamritsen Lachlav Dira, I shouldn't have to think about getting another apartment. For Loizubavan, not only that, Al Agam Al Shulchan Zeh Shachan Lav. I don't want to change my table. I want to keep my same table. Shafilo Rod Lay Nachlav. I don't even want to change the furniture. I remember reading in All for the Boss. All for the Boss, a book written about Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, who was he came to America in the early 1900s, one of the pioneers of American Jewry. And he was it's a great book. If you want to read, it was like one of the first real well-written English biographies, back when I was a kid, it was like super popular. And he was an amazing person. But one of the many, he was a father-in-law of Rav Scheinberg, Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's father-in-law, and he was a tremendous person. He was a rabbi of sent a lot of people to back to Europe from America. I think Rav Victor Miller, and so a lot of Rosh Hashivas came from his from all that he did to make sure that they went to Europe, to Slabodka, to the Mir, wherever it was. But he was a tremendous Machnas Erech. That's probably what he's most famous for. And he had all types of guests every Shabbos. When for a while he was very wealthy, he was very affluent. He made a lot of money as a furrier. And then during the Great Depression, he lost everything, and he was going to give up his whole Hachnasas Arachim business, quote unquote. Every Shabbos, he had like dozens and dozens of people, homeless people, and Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshivas from Europe, and everybody came. He continued to do this even during the Great Depression. And so one time, I think Rav Baruch Fair was at his house. And from Europe, he always stayed by Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, and he said, so Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman and his wife were having like an argument, because there was an old couch in the living room, and the couch was all beaten up, and it was all like, you know, scarred, and the cushion, the insides were like coming out already. She says, yeah, I want a new couch. I want a new couch. He says, he like starts touching, he has this couch. He says, how many Rosh Hashivas sat on this? How many, you know, this Rosh Hashiva slept on it once? And we had so many Archim in it. What's wrong with it? It's a beautiful couch. Fine. So she says to her Baruch Hashem, she says, can you help me here? Like, you know, he was like a Ben Bayis by then. Can you help me? Like, you know, he says, well, you're not wrong, but he's not wrong either. Like, he, you know, for him, this is, he doesn't need a new couch. He doesn't want a new couch. He could afford it. Not that he couldn't afford it. He just didn't want it. And this is Maisa v'sim labanim. This is something that is so important for us to learn now. Now, before we get older, and before we get wealthier, mitzvah Hashem, and before we marry, this is the time to really understand this very, very, very well. Because if you live I'm not saying you have to live in poverty, you should live a nice life, you should wear nice clothing, you should live in a nice house, you should drive a nice car. That's mitzvah Hashem. But, and we should have the wherewithal to pay our bills and to send our children to yeshiva and to camps and to have food on the table, kol yemei chayenu. But it's very important that as we get wealthier, mitzvah Hashem, and as we get a better job and a better situation, and you know, things in mitzvah Hashem will prosper for us, to keep things in control, to keep things in perspective, to not be mishana me'achsanya. That's not to say you can't buy a bit, you outgrow your house and get a bigger house, because I'm saying, but just make sure that you don't get caught up in this rat race of gashmias and bigger and fancier and better and more lavish and more, and now your chasnas have to be in who knows where, and you're, and you know, and you can only buy this type of shoe and this type of clothing and this type of ad, and you get into this crazy mode that you can't, you know, you can never, there are people like, I can't, once you travel, let's say, business class on El Al, it's impossible to go back down to coach. It's just, you can't. That sounds foolish. Why not? What's wrong? You just can't. I've spoken to people that have done this. If you go business class, you go first class, and you did that a few times, you physically cannot sit anymore and coach. You just can't. It's bizyainis for a person, and that, you know, because once you have that, I'm a business class guy. Now I can't be seen anymore and coach. If a person's driving a certain car, you can never really downgrade. You can't go down from a Lexus to an Accord. Because, you know, what my yom, like, what are people going to say about me? They're going to say that I'm not matzliach. That you can't go down. So before you go up, you have to really make sure that this is where you want to be. It's much better in life. It's 1,000 times better in life to have money. This is the best situation. To have money, to have a good job, to make nice money, to be mefarnes, to be able to have the wherewithal to mefarnes your family, but put the money in the bank, put it in the stock market, put it in savings, give it to tzedakah, but don't blow it on a lavish lifestyle, because you're spoiling yourself, you're spoiling your wife, you're spoiling your children, you're inflating yourself to a degree that you will never be able to deflate yourself. And your whole, and it doesn't make you happy anyway. It's just spending money that you don't have to impress people that you don't like, and it's just not worth it. It's good to make money, but save the money. Put it away for a rainy day. Make sure that you can maybe help your kids out someday, Mirtz Hashem. And, you know, but it's much better to live in a neighborhood that's not high maintenance, to marry a girl that's not high maintenance, to make sure that you yourself are not high maintenance, to raise your children in a way that's not high maintenance. It's hard because, you know, we're living in New York City in 2019, and it's, you know, there is a, it's very hard to find very yeshivish communities anymore that have these ideals. Even, you know, even really like Lakewood when I was a little kid and before me, for sure, there were like, Lakewood was like a real yeshivish you know, town that, you know, people live bedachkos and they were just learning. Today you go to Lakewood. Lakewood today is like the fanciest area in the tri-state area. You have every fancy restaurant. There still is places, patches of Lakewood that are still the same, I guess, as they used to be. But people are building mansions there. It's very hard to find a place you can actually live simply with the right hashkafas, with the right ideals. Even, you know, in Eretz Yisrael also, you know, it's hard. You know, it used to be, you know, you have certain places. Today, everything became very, very spitz. Everything was like, because Baruch Hashem, we're living in very affluent times. So people are driving fancy cars and people are living in fancy homes and people are making fancy kitchens and extensions and this and that. And if you have to do it and you can afford it, okay. But that's not the ideal. If you're doing it because you need more space, great. If you're doing it to poke your neighbor's eyes out or because you want to keep up with the Joneses, then it's a tremendous rachmanis on you. And these are things you have to discuss with there's a few years ago, there was a guy that came to me and he was dating a girl and he basically noticed that she is very high maintenance. He was a simple guy and she was very high maintenance and she was saying things and like, you know, and he got so scared from it because I told him, you're right to be scared. It's a scary, you know, that's not an ideal. An ideal, it's not ideal to have to look for the higher, better, bigger. That's not what we're supposed to be. Unfortunately, that's what we became very, you know, Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, became very gashmistic. But that's not what we're supposed to be. That's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like Avraham Avinu. That's what we started with. That Maisav Isim Laban, whatever. We're learning these stories about Avraham Avinu, not just because they're interesting stories, but because they are life-altering. We're supposed to be emulating the Avis. And Avraham Avinu teaches us, he came back covered. He was heavy with kesev, with zav. He had so much. He didn't know what to do with that money. But he stayed in the same place. That's ridiculous, right? Why would you? Why wouldn't you up? I don't want to upgrade. I could, but it doesn't mean anything to me to upgrade. I don't need it. Why should I waste money on spending $300 a night on a room if I could spend $50 a night on the same bed? I get the same sleep. I once heard somebody saying in a speech, he said, and it's a true vart. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily something you could say over, you know, at a Shabbos table, but he said that, you know, you have a choice. Let's say tonight you're going out to eat. I'm not saying for an anniversary or for this or for that, but you have a choice. You can either, let's say, eat a bagel or a slice of pizza, or you can go to a fancy restaurant in Manhattan and buy, you know, a steak for like a, you know, a $90 steak and a this and a, so you could spend $10 on a meal, or you can spend $200 on a meal. What's the difference between it tastes a little better going down, it's a little nicer decor. So he says maybe it's a more sophisticated asher yatzer. Says that's all it is. So at the end, it's the same. It's the same thing. You're full. You do your tzrach, and that's it. It's the same thing. It's just all perception. That's not the ideal for a Jew to constantly be like dreaming about more and better. What we should be dreaming about is davening better, learning better, chazering, steigen, giving more tzedakah, raising our children from and happy. And that's what our shifa should be. When did our shifas become to buy a fancier car and a fancier house and extensions and kitchens? And when did that happen to us, the people? It doesn't have to be that way. We could be like the stipler. We might not be gainim like the stipler, but we can have the stipler's hasagas in terms of living. And that's an extreme. We don't need to be that, but like, we don't have to get crazy and spend money that we don't have and swipe credit cards and get credit card bills, you know, through the roof that we can't afford to pay and debt. And the Mishnah Berurah writes about this, that, you know, says Nebuch, that people spend money that they don't have, and then they get into debt and they have to run away because the creditors are all running after him. Like, this has happened. This is not a new thing. This is something that already existed 100 years ago. But it's very, very important for us to get this straight now. Even if you get 1% of what I'm saying to you tonight, and you're discounting a lot of it, and you say, okay, he's crazy, he doesn't get it, fine, because someday you can live whatever lifestyle you want. And I'm not saying that I'm the poster boy for living, I live pretty well myself, but I'm telling you that if you can, try to keep it simple. Make sure you marry a girl that's simple. You stay simple. Just keep it simple. Keep it real. Keep it simple. Keep it low maintenance, low key. That's the secret to happiness. You're making money? Great. Keep it in the bank. Don't spend it right away. Keep it, save it, give it to tzedakah, do good things with it, but you don't have to spend it just because you're making it. And if you're not making it, you for sure should not be spending it. These are life-altering lessons that you are the beneficiaries of today at a time that it actually matters and that it counts and that you could do something with it. And trust me, this is a priceless vow. What you got here tonight, you'll owe me later a lot if you listen to it. My sav is simon labonim.